Right, welcome along to the 17th edition of the Manx 40 Pod, and the first of 2017, Dave.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year. I suppose we should get that in first, shouldn't we?
Yeah, festive greetings to everyone.
Yeah, because we've had a few weeks off. It's been a continental-esque break, 4 weeks. But I'm delighted to say we're joined today by Douglas Royal manager Aaron Quinn and chairman Rob Cowan. Plus, we're going to look ahead to Saturday's prelim round of the FA Cup. So that's all to come. Right, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Aaron and Rob today to discuss the Royal and JCK Division 2 season so far. 4 points clear, top of the table, Aaron, as we enter the final third of the season. You must be pretty happy with that, surely?
Yeah, happy New Year, guys.
Thanks. Yes.
Thanks for having us.
No props.
Yeah, we're delighted. It couldn't have gone too much better. And probably better than... certainly you two expect.
Hey, I think I tipped you guys up about
To be fair, I was thinking about this the other day, and
enough wrong, you occasionally get one right, don't you, Dave?
It's a scattergun approach. One of them's got to be right. Yeah.
He was, Dave was the only one to...
A shining light in the murky world of Manx punditry, some might say.
The only one to tip us, if you like, but then... ever since that gives us to get beat every week on predictions, which I find a little bit strange.
Everyone loves the underdog.
Yeah. he's pretty much being your team psychologist then this year. He's been giving the motivation.
I've given the motivation.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman does the motivation. The lads have been brilliant for me. I can't fault them ever since I took over last year. Wasn't the best of starts last season when I took over, but you know, try to get things early, get things organised, get a good pre-season in and take it from there. And I always said the run of games that we had, but which was unfortunately disrupted for one reason or another, was like five fixtures where it was Castletown, Braddon, playing against Governors Athletic and Moran, and see where we were at the halfway point after those games. But a few of those games were cancelled, so having played Castletown on Saturday, that gave us a real good marker now of potentially what we could go on to achieve this season.
So you said you took over towards the end of last season. What was the aim at the start of this? You know, you've been in the position a few months. You had time to assess your squad. Did you think we've got a good team here? You know, we can challenge for the top four positions or top two positions. What was your thoughts?
I've been at the club or involved with the club for a very long time, and the current crop of players that we've got are the aging, shall we say? But it is a really good. If we can get our starting 11 out week in, week out, it's a really good side, and I've felt that for a number of years. And potentially, you know, we could have been underachieving for one reason or another, which I think was more deep rooted than just the 11 players. I think the whole, I don't know, the view of Douglas Royals from people looking into the outside, I think it looked maybe a little bit disorganised and things like that. So one of the key things I was keen to address straight away was get the organisation right, get things right off the pitch to allow these 11 players to go and play. And like I say, if we can keep those on the pitch, then it really is a good side. And I think by getting the conditions right off the pitch, I think we've managed to get the results on the pitch this season anyway.
So you mentioned off the pitch, Rob must play a big role in that as chairman, Rob?
Yes, I do all the maintenance around the pitch, which is hard work sometimes.
I can imagine, yeah.
It's weather related, obviously, because of the machinery. We've got to actually get the machinery on, because you know, we've got a £250,000 pitch there, which is equivalent to Wembley, I would say. You know, Clinton's in the same boat as well, but we need those the actual equipment, which the three clubs, you know, Vagabonds, Corinthians, and Royals, invested in, which is a lot of money, a lot of equipment, all top of the range equipment. You know, so you know when you actually go down there, you'll see that the pitch is, you know, everybody said, oh, it's a good, looks good, and everything like that. Yeah. That is down to the machinery and just, you know, constant, you know, worked on it. Yeah. And it's not just a matter of taking over a pitch and then, oh yeah, just play footy on it. You've got to actually maintain it. And that is what, you know, Royals, you know, intend to do. So
I think the role of Rob as well, he's saying he just does the maintenance. He is Mr. Douglas Royals in essence. And I think all clubs need somebody like Rob, and we're blessed to have him, and the work that he does is goes beyond the pitch, just that. And you know, he can't be thanked or enough, really, by myself and by all the lads involved with the club. And he's allowed, you know, I had a meeting with Rob when I took over last year, and said, look, I need the support to go and do what I want to do. And that, you know, I get a lot of hassle from Mr. Foley, our treasurer, and from Rob, because all I want to do is spend money. But it's not, you've got to have, you can't be turning up with five footballs and four of them are flat.
Yeah.
So it's, and they go missing, they go flat or whatever. So it's about having the equipment there available for the lads to go and do, you know, to feel like they're part of something. And so that's going back to what I said about getting all the things right off the pitch. And the aims at the start of the season, I sat down, there's no point in me saying, I'm going to do this, and this. I sat down with the lads and said, what do you think you can achieve this season? And, you know, where can we go and what can I do to support that? And the 9 out of 10 were, you know, we think we can go for promotion. We're good enough to do it. Potentially we've underachieved. And last season, you know, we had five managers, and you know, the off the field stuff wasn't very good, wasn't very pleasant. We've got that addressed, and I gave up to the lads, give them their targets and what they think they can achieve, and this, you know, we'll take it from there. And we have done, and I think we've overachieved to an extent.
So you talked about you taking over the managerial reins last year. What sort of made you decide to do it? I mean, so you've been involved in the club for so long. You make that step up into the hot seat. What was the driving force behind that?
Yeah, it was probably earlier than I would have liked to have done, because I was actually still playing last season. But you know, the club didn't have. Again, I think it was a more deep rooted problem than just the first team manager. It was the whole, the organisation of it, off the field stuff, you know, highlighted by me being their fifth manager when I did actually take over. And you know, with all due respect to the people who did it before me, you know, the appointment before me with Tony, it didn't quite work out for him, and it was through no fault of his own. I think that when he did take over, that I think it needed a deeper understanding of the club. And getting those, working with those characters, which we were quoted as, you know, saying that there's some of them are unmanageable. They're not. They had high expectations, potentially too high for a Division Two club. Mm. But I felt I could come in and meet those expectations and get them better. And you know, there was a few personality clashes with the previous manager and some of the players, and some of the players were not playing, and we were already low on numbers. And they were refusing to play, and had made other arrangements to go away to watch, you know, Premier League games, and we were struggling to get teams out. And I just felt if it carried on that way, then come the end of the season, then Douglas Royals this season would potentially not exist, or
wow,
the team itself would have disbanded, players were going to go and leave, and we wouldn't have had a team. But I felt, and I knew over the last couple of years, that the lads that we had potentially could go on to achieve something. So we made the decision that we did as a club and as a committee, and I volunteered to at least get us through to the end of last season. And then my contract was for this was for this season, and you know, we'll see where we are at the end of the season and reassess. But I wasn't saying I was going to be the answer to it. I mean, I didn't win for my first 8 games.
Yeah.
And now we've gone 17 wins out of our last 19 in the league.
And you brought the feel-good factor back to the club.
Yeah, that was one of my main...
I don't think it's unique to just to Royals, you know, all clubs go through it.
Yeah.
You know, through a period of time, you know,
yeah.
Some clubs have high, some clubs have low, so... And it's just the way you've got to deal with it, you know, not just second division, even first division.
Yeah.
Clubs are sometimes struggling.
I agree. How did the boys react from you going from playing, you know, their midfielder or goalkeeper or whoever you were playing in the league, to them being the guy that was dishing out the orders, you know, telling them to train twice a week and all that, and
they were fine. You know, I tried not to change because myself and Gavin Gorn's fantastic for me. Gav takes the training that we was in. You know, we try and plan our sessions and what we want to do, and he was doing that anyway last season. So that kind of continued. I was very keen for the. I remember my first training session. Do you remember that up at Bemahague? It was hailstone and it was horrendous. It was horrific, and I had this fantastic session planned to deliver, but there was a lot of stop, stand, still. It was about how we wanted to try and get the lads to play, which didn't go down too well when none of them could move after a few minutes. But to be fair, I can't fault them enough. Don't get me wrong, I've had run-ins. I said to them, I'm not going to be your friend for all the season. We are going to fall out. I'm going to try and pick the best team I think for the game that's coming up, of the players that we've got available, and they're probably sick of me saying it's about attitude, effort, application, and they're good enough if they can get that desire and, you know, increase the effort and the intensity at training, and that sort of stuff will happen on the Saturday, and the results, because they're a good team or good players, will take care of itself. And they've been brilliant for me, and I've tried to increase the fitness levels. I've tried to increase that competitiveness at training, which is shown on the Saturday. And even so, you know, I've got a fines list, which is massive, like double sided. You know, you get fined for, if you get a yellow card, it's 50p. Yep. If you get a red card, it's £1. If you miss a penalty, it's a laugh. But on the other side, there's that discipline stuff. There's timekeeping. So if you're late, but yep, it's not meet at 1 o'clock. It's meet at 1:02. It's meet at 12:57, because they'll remember. It's funny, but they'll remember. Yeah, and anyone who's late is whoever's looking after the fines that week for the team is straight on them. It's fines, and it's a laugh, but it's changed the whole culture of the club, I think.
All goes to the end of season party, does it?
Absolutely. I have to remind me. I have to get you invited.
I think it does. You know, the how we're doing now shows with Aaron's commitment, because you know, it's not just being a manager, it's been all the training. Okay, he's got the help of Gorney, he comes in, steps in. But I mean, everything's set up, and it's not just a matter of just turning up, kicking a ball around now. It's having a game of five-a-side. There's proper, you know, set pieces and all things like that, which you see, and you see the result on the pitch.
Well, Gorney's been manager himself for a short time, wasn't he? So he probably takes that experience into
help. He did it for a couple of years. I was helping him out. And then we both ended up still involved on the playing side, and still the whole idea of him bringing me involved to help him out was to be the person on the side, if you like. But we ended up, playing, so we still had nobody on the side, and I think that he was finding it very difficult to concentrate on his own game as well as everybody else, and which is fair enough, which is why he didn't want to carry on. But I think those people that did carry it on potentially had the ideas, but it just didn't, for one reason or another, it didn't work out for them. And I think now that, you know, the lads have come, even down to, you know, we've got new sponsors on board, so thanks to Ellis Brown Architects and to Manning Group, that have allowed us to splash out on new kits and new training kit. And my brother-in-law Chris, he helps me out with the water boy on a Saturday. But the lads turn up, all their kits laid out, they've got a warm-up kit, they've got their tracksuit top, and they've got their kit, and it's all laid out. So they're rocking up at 12:57 on time, and, you know, the kits, they get fined if they don't wear their kit going out to warm up in and stuff like that, which it's just changed the whole culture of the club. And I think that's made a massive difference.
I think, you know, because the club has shown a more of a commitment to the players, not say welfare, but how they present themselves, how they are on the pitch, and everything, you know, the facilities they've got. That, you know, they're given a bit more.
It's reciprocal, you know, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, all we're asking is for 100%. Okay, if we get 100% for them, that's fine.
You can't.
You know, no matter how they perform, it's as long as they give the 100%, that's all we want.
Yeah.
One of the cornerstones of your season so far has been the attacking philosophy that you've instilled in the players. You must be delighted to see it. You're one of the league's highest scorers, if not the highest scorers.
Yeah, it's the. Looking before, we finished seventh last season with scoring 102 goals, which was the joint third in the league. Conceded 97. One of my main objectives, if you like, was to try and, how can I or how can we as a squad work to restrict the opposition, and then but without restricting ourselves going forwards in the attacking sense. And I think I've got various combinations of players that I can use out of that 14, 15, 16 of my core first team squad, that no matter what five or six I put out, I think they're the best.
Yeah.
You know, they can be the best in the league. And some of the football that we played, I think the best attacking performance that we've put in football wise was the game Paul Rose, where, you know, the results spoke for itself, but it was the way, it was the manner that we played, it was the goals that we scored, and the football that we played that day was unbelievable.
Well, you tore Paul to shreds, but one of the things that stood out for me, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, is you were like 7 or 8 nil up, and you know, you were still fuming when you conceded a goal. Yeah. And Flanagan came off the bench and scored a couple of goals, and you were furious at the players, and then they picked it back up and they scored a few more goals. You know, they didn't rest on their laurels.
Yeah, I think that's you know, that's come from the stuff that I said at the start of the season, and the stuff that we've done off the pitch, and the changes and the culture that I've tried to instill at training and stuff, is that 6 or 7 games this season we've been getting beat. We, you know, we've 1-0, 2-0 down, 2-0 down against Governors, 2-0 down against Moran.
That was a, you know, they were very lackluster for 45-foot. Moran played well.
Yeah.
But second half, that you boys came back out.
Yeah.
Would that have been 2-0 last season? Would you have lost that fixture?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and possibly the season before. I've got I've said it, you know, repeating myself, a really good set of lads that now it's. They've known they've been good enough, but it was getting the right attitude and stuff. And all I ask for is 100%. And whether that means you ask for 20 minutes, half an hour or an hour, then that's fair enough. But that's what we ask for. And that's all I ask for against Castletown at the weekend. We worked on the system that I wanted to play. And I never mentioned them. I never mentioned the importance of the game. I never mentioned what it would do to the league table and what it potentially could help us achieve towards the end of the season. I just said to them, we haven't played for 4 or 5 weeks. Go out and enjoy it and give me 100%. And if you can do that, and everybody in this room does that, then, you know, then we all get a result. But yeah, I think if we'd have gone 2-0 down against Moran last season, then we would have lost it. And also, I think I haven't been afraid to make any changes to the side. You know, we went in 2-1 down against Douglas and District at home, having had numerous opportunities to put the game to bed. I've changed it straight away at half time, took off a defender, gone 3 at the back, put another one on up front, and got us back in the game, and we win 4-2. Made changes at Moran, changed the formation. You know, let's go for it. That's more than good enough going forwards to get the win.
Sounds like a tactical genius, isn't it?
Yeah, Pep.
Yeah. So you've been 2/3 through the season now. Who else has impressed you in Division 2 this season? You know, there's quite, you know, that top half of the table, as we've even mentioned, a lot of teams capable of taking points off each other, aren't there?
Yeah, and, you know, with eight games left, you know, for us, there's no easy games left in there, because a few of the teams that we've played, we were 2-0 down within 10 minutes against Governors, and they've improved dramatically, and they're always a threat with Thurby up front, with Pace getting in behind. I think who's impressed me, do you know what, Malou, the first game of the season we played them away, and, you know, we won 6-0, and it could have been, should have been a lot more, but when they played us at our place, because of the way that the performance that we put in, I changed our formation, that we went 3 at the back and said, we'll go for this. And
yeah.
Boost the goal difference and what have you, and we were lucky not to come in 2 or 3 nil down. They were fantastic. They played really, really well. Dean Kinley was fantastic up front, and he scored a couple of goals for them that day. And I said to them on I'm new to this Twitter stuff. I tried to say to them, I hope I said to them, you know, that
no,
the win, you know, carry on playing like that, and the win won't be far away. And they train after us on a Tuesday on the bowl. And I spoke to them when they finally got their first win, that, you know, that it's been, congratulated them, because it's been long overdue. Douglas and District, again, they gave us a game.
Rob, you've obviously
seen a lot. There's a few teams, like, you know, that you think, you know, that it's going to be, well, I wouldn't say a walkover. I mean, you know, you might get a result here. And they turn up and surprise you.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, we've changed our way of playing, with Aaron in charge, It's just these, sometimes you get an odd team, like Swanken, you know.
They just turn up
and they think, you know, what's happening here? Like, you know, what are we doing wrong here? Like,
was it 5-4?
Yeah, that was the last
one of your rare defeats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That.
Doesn't like defeats.
I always try and, you know, try and be as objective as you know, over the years that, you know, been involved in football. And I felt against Onken, it was a fantastic game. It was for the neutral, if you like, but for me and Dave Reese on the sideline, it was horrendous to watch. You know, we went 1-0 up, we went in at half time, we went 1-0 down, I think. We went in at half time, we were 2-1 up, then we were 3-2 down, then we were 4-3 down, got it back to 4-4, we've hit the post. And their winning goal in like the 85th, 86th minute, whatever it was, when I've got 7 players up front and 2 at the back in one of these formations that I'm trying to go for the win, was Rob out on the right, about right on the touchline, and it was like Ronaldinho's free kick over
Seaman.
It was a cross, and he, hands up, it was a cross. It's completely evaded Tom. It's not like one of our goalkeepers to get lobbed. They get lobbed. And it's nestled right into the top corner. Complete and utter fluke. And then 2 minutes later, you know, the whistle goes and they're ecstatic. So I think we were a little bit unlucky there, but it was a fantastic game. But credit to Wonka. And they've been, speaking of teams that we've been impressed with, they were really, really good.
I think really, really good. You were talking about it before, it almost introduced an element of professionalism to the club. Ooh. I don't think you're alone. A lot of, especially in Division 2, a lot of teams are trying to do it now. We're talking to, we've had the Onken boys in.
Yeah.
They've bought into this. Yeah. And team spirit's played another big role, I think.
Absolutely.
But a lot of clubs are trying now. They're training twice a week and then trying to get a result. The squad thing is, I was going to ask you about this, because a couple of times I've spoken to you after matches, you're like, oh, I haven't had my first 11 out. But you've used the squad, and everyone's having to do that now, and utilise the combi. Because when we had Johnny and Paul in, a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, is combination football still relevant? Yeah. And they said, definitely. You know,
absolutely.
That's,
yes,
you
absolutely.
Have to have a squad now, even at this level. You can't rely on 11 players to turn up every week. And you've had to use the combi, obviously, this year.
Yeah, and myself.
Yeah.
I played in goals for the against Onken. I was their best player. at Bala Fletcher, I did my best to give them a win, gave away 2 goals, gave away a penalty. Saved it, man. But no, I think, especially in the Isle of Man, I think, you know, I've played football in I've lived in the UK and played football in the UK in leagues. But I think over here, the combi football, because of its location, football over here is a lot more important to people than potentially is in the UK, and it's something for people to look forward to. And so combination football, if you were to get rid of that for whatever reason, then there's a massive amount of people who would miss out. So I think it's, you know, it's massively important. And I know speaking from my own experience and from speaking to some people I've had conversations with this week, they enjoy playing combi football because there's no pressure on and there's a bit of a laugh. And they've enjoyed it, so I think it's massively important. And when you get to my stage of life, you look forward to maybe having the odd game in the combi.
Yeah, also combination football is where you bring your young fellas into as well.
Absolutely.
So and that's vital.
Well, that's what the Laxey,
you know,
boy said.
It's vital, that is. You know,
when you've been playing 16 to 18 league now, is a total world away from senior football. The intensity, the competitive, even the physicality of it is just totally different. And they said, a lot of the best, say the likes now, I'm trying to think of it, the best players, you know, Kieran and that, all of McNulty and Connor and all of them have probably had done a spell in the combi before they...
Yeah,
yeah. And I think back when the players who are my age now were at 14, 15, when we left under 14s, you could go in and play senior football. So I left St George's under 14s. And signed for Douglas Royals and was their first team goalkeeper. And then, you know, you're playing up against Chris Bass Senior, Gary Blackburn, who's up front for St George's. Always remember that game up at on Nobles Park. And, you know, we had Jimmy Williams playing for us and Neil Gibson. But coming in as a kid at 14, you're thinking, oh my word, I'm playing, you know, senior football. Mm. So it's the combi is where you need to blood those youngsters. And that's the next thing for us. You know, we're a little bit behind junior setup wise, we've got the setup in the age groups, but they're not at that age group yet where they'd be making that step up into the combination football, which other clubs potentially, you know, your Laxies and Onkins, listen to the Onkin podcast, you know, they've got that, and they've got that conveyor belt of young players coming through.
But what we do find is that, you know, other clubs, they have these multi-teams, you know, kid junior teams and whatnot, and then they've got nowhere to go when, you know, there is going to be, you know, players there, you know, 16-year-olds, 17, who just saying, well, where am I going to go?
There's only 11.
There's only 22, you know, players in a team, in the club, so where are they going to go? So
I have this conversation every week with my...
We always have this sort of thing, well, you know, does anybody want to come? Like, you know, and we always welcome them, you know, and we look at them and, you know...
I have the conversation every week with the lad, you know, training that, you know, it's a squad game. It's, you know, you've got 20 lads, I can only pick 14, 11 of which are playing, I'll, you know, depending on who's available or what I want to do on the Saturday. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. No problem. Until it's them that's not playing.
Well, you know, like the combi manager, I've said this since I've been involved with football, you know, the hardest job in management is a combi.
Yeah.
Combi manager, you know, he's got to... lose his best players to the first team, and he's got to bring youth into the club as well. Like, you
know, I think that's a good point that Rob's mentioned there. And I think what got me on side with a lot of the players as well when I took over last year, we weren't going to do anything, pull up any trees or anything last year. You know, when I came in with 7 games left or whatever it was, and whereas the combi were doing really well, so I said to Kevin Ballard, who's done a fantastic job of taking our combi for the last couple of seasons, take who you need. You know, if you're short of players, or you're thinking you could do with X, Y, and Z potentially from the first team, I will support you 100% for this season. My plan is the view is for this season and next season, and it's got to be about the first team. So I will leave you with 9 players as long as I've got my 14. Yeah. I will leave you with 10 players as long as I've got my 14. And if I do that for you in the last half of this season, then next season, which is the one we're in now, I expect full support for the first team. And to be fair to him, he's done that brilliant. That's helped massively.
Speaking of players coming in, I mean, since you guys left Millwall Park and went up to Balfletcher, have you seen a lot more players, a bigger influx of players wanting to come in at all age groups? Have you
personally? Rob may agree or may disagree. I think, and I said this when I spoke to Tony Meppen and Tim Glover a few weeks back, that I think as a club we missed out massively on the move to Balfletcher, of how good those facilities were going to be, how good those facilities now are. And you look at Corinthians, you know, doing well in the Premier League. The youth setup is thriving. You go up there at the weekends, you know, there's kids in Corinthians kits left, right and centre, and it's fantastic to see. And I think that should be where Douglas Rowe are at, but unfortunately we're not. I think we missed out on potentially promoting our wares, you know, advertising to get more junior squads involved, more junior players involved. And we've addressed that. You know, we've got the Everton soccer camp, which Rob played a massive part in getting over, with my brother-in-law Chris and his wife Sam have took that on board themselves, and that was massive. And, you know, that's planned again for next year. So on the back of that, we've got more juniors coming
through. It's just sort of promoting what we've got up there. You know, it's
fantastic.
Facility. You know, it's all down to the Football Foundation and government, of course. Like, but, if people come up there and think, I didn't realise it was this big, you know, and this good, like, you know, so...
It is fantastic. Apart from when it's windy.
it's not too bad.
Compared to Gary Moore, but
I appreciate you've got a stand and watch.
I would say it's not as windy as what Noble's Park is.
You
get that fresh wind coming off the sea at Noble's Park.
You're higher up at
Balfletcher, but you know, to me, you know, and I've stood and watched some games at Noble's Park, I tell you.
It doesn't affect our football because we keep on.
It's not bad.
I would say it can be Baltic up there.
Certainly can.
But it's the other man.
Where isn't
it? Well, say, all being well, we get promotion, even the title, come on May.
Say that.
How do you think you would fare in the Premier League next season? You know, you've been around the block a few times, Aaron. You've played in the Premier League before, so you know the standards the boys would have to achieve.
You know, I think we would do okay, and I think the I really struggled when towards the end of last season, because of the how last season panned out, I struggled selling the club to get people in for this season. I said, come and join Quinny's Royals Revolution. Come on, it'll be good. You know, we've sat down, we've had a chat. These are our aims, this is our targets. And we had a few people come to training with us. I obviously won't mention any names who they were. Couldn't get them over the line, couldn't get them signed on. It's not happening, it's not. And I was honestly, when we've got our starting 11, if I can bring you involved, get you involved, then you know it'll be really good. I really, really struggled with that. And I felt if I could make the changes that I have done and see how the results pan out this season, that potentially whatever happens at the end of this season, the club certainly is in a better place for attracting different players. So I would like to think for next season that we would have some new blood in, which would only I'm not just looking to get players in for the sake of getting people in, because that leaves you with a headache of falling out of people because they're not going to get a game. I want players to come in who are going to improve us, who are going to make us better as a team, whichever division that we are in. But yeah, I'd think, you know, the three league thing came up again when I mentioned to Tony Meckham and Tim Glover at the and that we would look at the teams. If you look now, you know, your Union Mills, Ayr, Colby, Ramsey, those four teams around you, those 8 to 10 games, they're your cup finals. They're the games you go out to get those results, and then you build from there. So I think we would do okay attacking wise going forwards. We're fantastic, and we've had some compliments of people who have come up and said, I go to watch various games, Premier League and Second Division. Some of the football you've played today, that was against Paul Rose, and some of the football that we played against Douglas and District was some of the best that they'd seen this season. Some of the stuff that they do has been great. So that's all credit to the lads. So I do think with a couple of additions, we need those additions. We need to strengthen the squad that we'd do all right.
I guess that answers the questions of whether you'd maintain your attacking philosophy in the top flight.
Yeah, that's football, isn't it? That's what, you know, the whole reason for defending in football is, can you go and attack? So if they're attacking you down the left-hand side, can you win that ball? And they're going to be weaker on the right-hand side, and let's go and attack them down there. So yeah, that's the whole philosophy.
I think as Aaron says, yeah, you've got to make our mark next year. When we go up, we're just going to make our mark and then progress from there.
Well, we've seen with Douglas Athletic and Colby, they've gone up and
they've stayed.
You know, regarding players, you know, it's, you know, all good players want to play in the Premier League. Mm. You know, so. We don't want to play in the second division. That's been our problem. You know, once you, and no disrespect to the second division, but I mean, you know, everybody wants to play in the Premier League. So, and you know, you're trying to get good class players to play in the second division. It's very hard.
You know, we nearly had a few good signings over the line that, you know, we were turning up to training week in, week out, which didn't quite happen in the end. But if they'd have come to us, attacking wise, we would have been. You know, so whether we can attract those players now that, you know, we've got fantastic new setup, you know, the new kits, the new training kits, it's all organised off the pitch. No matter what happens this season, it's whether it's me that's still there, if Rob renews my contract, or if I want a new contract, or whoever it is that comes in charge, whichever division we're in, Douglas Royals is an easier sell now as a club, and that makes me. You're going back to saying what was my aim at the start of the season, that was one of them, because I couldn't see. It hurt me personally to see the way that the club was going, and I'm glad that the stuff that I've managed to do at the minute on the pitch has kind of worked out.
Hope you've got a promotion and a wage rise clause in your contract.
I have to talk to the treasurer. Oh, Mr. Foley.
That goes to Mr. Foley.
Well, that takes it nicely.
Set nicely into our Twitter questions. It's as if they've read them before, isn't it? We had a few this week. Tony Sewell, the man you took the reins from, he sent a tweet in to ask, is Stuart Foley due a testimonial yet?
Like, I would...
I would think, when I watched you guys, you might have been around, or I think I've seen you a couple of times this season, I did wonder how many games has Stuart Foley played for Royal.
Too many.
He's the Julian Ringham of the Division 2, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been around a while. He's still holding his own, though.
He scored the game, I think he scored a header, was it, against Brown?
He did. When Foley scored,
right.
Is Stuart Foley due a testimonial? I would say
like his retirement is long overdue.
Do you reckon, Mr. Chairman? I think that Stuart's got to answer that one, I think. Yeah. If he wants to have a testimony, he can have one.
With all due respect, Foley has been fantastic for us. He's good to have because he can play. So whenever I want to make my random changes that I do, he plays right back, then he gets switched to left back, then he's at centre back in a back three, or centre back in a back two, or subbed off. He's been brilliant. But a lot of our players, I think, could be due testimonial. You know, they're at that age. Myself, Kevin, Foley, Gav won't be too far off.
No.
So yeah.
The thing with Foley as well, I jest about the Julian Ringham coming, but he is very much like Julian. You always know what you get with Stuart. It's a seven, isn't it, every week?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's Mr.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He has been on the raff of a few few tellings off. He got one on Saturday against Castletown, even though we were 4-1 up at half time. It's going back to Dave says before. You try and the majority of the time the results have gone well for us, but you try and keep little targets in mind, so you know you're 4-1 up, potentially the game could be won, but I used it as if they get this next goal, yeah, then you know we're in for a battle here, so pick up on things that have gone wrong in the first half that didn't result in us conceding the goal, but get them corrected.
Yeah,
and I wasn't shy in telling the back four and Mr. Foley that he needed to.
The thing is, some stood up as Royals Mr. Cool. Like, nothing seems to rattle him. He just
silence.
You know, you never see him get upset. You know? Even if he gets a good hammer and like.
Just watch him get a hat trick against All Boys this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Right. Division 2 aficionado Paul Hatton has tweeted, "What were the factors behind your Hospital Cup success in 2005? And is that the club's most memorable moment?"
I would say yes, you know, especially against St George's, so,
yeah,
and we upset them that year. I think it was down to, like it is now, you know, it's down to commitment. You know, we got through to the final, and the lads just give it 100%.
Mm.
You know, it was the longest 90 minutes of my life. I tell you what, it was a cracking game, and. You know, it's great to see. You know, we got photos up in the pub there with the Hospital Cup there, and everyone, you know, relates to that.
Yeah,
we still talk about it, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think certainly for me, for being at the club, I think for 17 or 18 years, that, you know, definitely one of the proudest moments of being involved. Although I was helping Alan Cowley out at the time with the team. That day was. It was brilliant. Obviously, Jamie Carr was on fire and scored, and Gavin Farragher. We had a really good side. Kevin Kane was playing for us. John Quirk, Dave Quirk, Will Mitchell in net was outstanding. I think everyone, you say Mr. Foley was at seven every week. Every player that day was at 11.
Mm.
And St George's players just had a little bit of an off day, and it was back in 2005. It was, you know, not long after Craig Blunt had passed away. And I think St George's potentially had already won.
They'd won everything else.
The Grand Slam. And whether they thought, you know, because we finished fourth from bottom or third from bottom that season, we weren't having the best of seasons.
Mm.
Whether they thought they were just going to turn up and beat us. And we were 3-0 up after 20 minutes. And I remember turning around to Alan Cowley on the sideline and saying, this is going to be the longest 70 minutes ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was. We got in at half time, we were still 3-0 down. 3-0 up, yeah. Sorry. And my uncle, who comes to a lot of our games, it was the first day of the Manx Charity Aid, the band thing.
Right, oh yeah.
Bushy's not in the TT tent. And he messaged me, how are you getting on? And I just replied back, half time, 3-0. Yeah. And he come straight back to me and said, don't worry, just try and keep the score down for the second half. And I went, no, we're winning 3-0. And then he said, before you knew it, everybody who were at Bushy's was like, oh, you know, yeah. St George's are getting beat by Douglas Rose, but it was fantastic. And they never scored their second goal until like the 94th minute or so, when they had Falky, Chris Bass, they had all their big hitters were on up front, and Will Mitchell was fantastic in goals, Gavin Farragher, Kevin Kane, James McStay, the Quirk brothers, fantastic day.
Good, yeah. Fantastic. And I think that them sort of games, or them sort of competitions, you know, it's just, you know, you get the smaller teams against the bigger teams, and you know, when the smaller team does win, it's just like the the English FA Cup. You know, it's fantastic.
Everyone winning that mean to me means, even though I wasn't involved playing wise, means a lot more than, you know, potentially winning week in, week out. It's brilliant.
Steve Whitley, Corinthians attacker. He's sort of a, what would you call it, more false nine, shadow striker. Substitute. Team of the week this week.
Oh, yeah.
He tweets in, best, I think, a pretty loaded question this
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Best all-round striker in Division 2. Quinny.
Yeah, I saw this earlier on, so I was trying to have a think. Obviously, you've got Andy Glover. There's no... arguing with the goals that Andy scores, but I think commenting on an all-round player is, I can't look too much further than Steve's brother Paul, who plays for us, and I think over the last six seasons he's scored 139 goals for us.
All right, Eric.
That's impressive. Got it written down because I knew that question was coming.
And his stats.
But with Paul, it's like the players are sick of me going on about his attitude, effort, commitment at training. Hardly never misses a training session unless there's something drastic. His work rate in training is superb. He does all of Ginger Craig's running for him on a Saturday. and like you say, he's averaged 23 odd goals every season, and you know his goals this year, he's been brilliant for me, and everybody plays off him, if you like. Is you know, they see him playing and he's got to be the first name on the team sheet whenever he's fit. He's played every game, and credit to him as well, he's carrying a few injuries at the minute, but he's going through. So all round, I would say him, but it's hard because I don't see anybody else at training. You only see them at games at weekends. And
what's the name? Aaron Castaigne, Foxtel, sorry, can you play? I think he scored in the game.
Everybody scored against us. We didn't clean sheets.
Game of the season, wasn't it?
I don't think he played in that one away. He played in the
game of Bella Fletcher.
He seemed to play a little bit more out on towards the left hand side, and I didn't know who he was.
Mm.
But yeah, he looked pretty quick, and you know, he's potentially is one that would do well playing at a Premier League club.
Well, he's come from Peel, so yeah, you know, that's why I was so mentioning, because
whether clubs would be looking around for him to you know, if depending on what happens this season with how Foxdale season pans out, whether they'd be looking to stay or move up. He certainly looked good enough to play up there. Obviously, Andy Glover's good enough to play up there. I said before, who's played really well or surprised us this season? When Malou played us at our place, Dean Kinley up front for them was one of his good days. attitude wise, he was spot on in his work rate, and he caused us all sorts of problems at the back, and he was fantastic. And if he can do that week in, week out, then you know he can be a really, really good player.
Sounds like Aaron fishing for a few players already.
Right, I think Dean actually played for us.
Did he?
I think when Jess was in charge, did he? Dean start playing goals for us?
He might have, yeah.
Playing goal.
I think so.
Goalkeeper.
There
we go.
I might have just randomly we'll
have that checked, as Tony Meppin would say. Before we look ahead to this week's FA Cup game, so, which of course you're involved in, we'll have a word from our beloved sponsor. I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started. Right, chaps, welcome back. It is, of course, Fred's Provident FA Cup preliminary round weekend. It's easy for me to say that.
That was easy for you.
I was meant to get international in there somewhere as well.
Not do our favourite Chinese anymore?
Oh,
there we go.
Dave, I always forget. Go on. We'll crowbar it in now. We're nothing if not flexible.
The little lantern on the terrace.
Oh, right. Has it just had a change of management? Because they've just...
Yes, because this caused me issues over Christmas. Because they did a Thai-style chicken curry, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, over Christmas holiday, were looking to get that in. She said, what do you want? I said, I'll have the Thai style chicken curry, udon noodles from the Little Lantern on the terrace, and the woman on the phone was adamant that they do not do, and I was like that. So my wife's on the phone relating this conversation to me, and I'm sitting there going, they do do it. We've ordered it in the past, shouting, going mad, and this woman on the other end of the phone, bless her, saying,
no,
we don't do it, we don't do it. But as you've alluded to, it's changed its name, and it's now the Little Panda, which doesn't do Thai green curry. So the second one would probably be the one at Paul Rose.
There you go. Rob, have you got a favourite Chinese takeaway in it? Douglas?
Favourite Chinese? Williston Chinese.
After the manor, maybe, yeah, stroll over.
Yeah, many times I've stayed along there.
Williston's highly recognised,
it is,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, Wendy does a good job up there. Yeah. You know, she does.
There you go. Yeah. Right, okay, so the FA Cup. We better start with the tie up by Fletcher, haven't we? Douglas Royal, who visited. Well, they're sort of neighbours in a way.
Yeah, they used to be a bit closer.
Other side of town.
Yeah. Old boys coming to Belfetch this week, chaps. How you feeling ahead of that game? Chance to sort of gauge your progress, as it were?
Yeah, I'm glad I've looked at this fixture list here because it's 1:15 kickoff, is that?
Yeah.
Right, so by the time we turned off at 2:00, we didn't
think 12:57 might have been a bit late.
It would have been out. So,
he'd have been there at 12:57, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those for us. It's when the tie came out, obviously John Quirk's signed for us from Old Boys. Unfortunately, he's away.
Oh, no.
So he's devastated that he's missing that game. But it's one of those teams that potentially, it's not your St. George's, where we got drawn against St. George's last year, where you're automatically thinking of, you know, can we try and restrict? And I think we did okay for 20 minutes.
Wasn't that 6-0? Willie Cowley turned up ridiculously late. Yeah. He was still having a cup of tea at the time of kickoff because he hadn't read
that it was
a thing. Yeah. Somebody had to go and get him out of the tea.
Yeah. And potentially it's not one of the teams that have already come down. Yeah. And it's a team that are mid table at the minute, Old Boys, got some good players, but have, you know, beat Union Mills 2-1, got beat by Douglas Athletic. So is there an opportunity there for us to get something? They haven't played yet. After Christmas, the game against Castletown. We've had the game against Castletown, which has got us back up. Yep. Not necessarily up to match speed straight away after a month or 5 weeks off, but it'll certainly help. Training on Tuesday, training this week.
The Christmas cobwebs off.
Yeah, we've certainly got nothing to lose. The attacking style will not be changed. We're not going to change to because we're up against First Division or Premier League side. We'll let them worry about us and hope we'll just go and play it. We're using it as our big tie. Our focus is the week after, against Braddon. Which it will be 2:00 kickoff.
I presume.
Hattie will be there.
The lads just go and enjoy it, and it's a chance to show what you can do.
I think there'll be goals in this one, don't you, Dave?
Absolutely.
Old boys like to counter, so it could in a way play into their hands if you go all guns blazing. But as I say, there'll definitely be goals. So one for the neutral. Yeah,
I'm still tipping Foley for a hat trick.
Yeah, Foley hat trick.
Who are you going for then, Davey?
You know what? I'm going to say 2-1 Royal.
I'm going to go. You're such a creep, isn't he?
The chairman was giving him the eyes.
I'm going to go Old Boys, but after extra time. I think it'll be a 6-6 thriller.
Don't do extra time.
I was going to say some of the steam might run out of the legs, the royal legs, and say extra time. Another team looking to make a cup set. Onken, they've got Ramsey at the Nivison. Now I think this could be. I smell blood in the water here.
Yeah, I think Onken might sneak this one. What do you guys
think? I think so.
Ramsey need to turn up and be on it, really, don't they? Because Onken, the Reese brothers are capable of pulling off a shock in this one.
Yeah, they've got Ronaldinho taking free kicks for them, so they'll be alright.
I'm after the slating that Lewis Qualto gave me on here when he was on, I'm definitely going for Onken, because he can't bring his mirror down from Ballard. So I'm definitely going for Onken there.
Game you're going to, Dave?
Yeah, the big Southern Derby. Yeah. Looking forward to this one.
Russian Castletown again, Premier League versus Division 2. Now, obviously, you guys played Castletown last week. How do you think they'll get on? Russian, you'd have to favour in this, would they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Another team that are capable of scoring goals all over the pitch.
I think I would. Obviously, we don't get to see the Premier League games, but I would favour Russian here, and having seen Castletown on Saturday, it's a very young side. with the potential,
yeah,
if they stick together, to, you know, to do really well. But yeah, I just think Russia might be too strong, and Jonesy's been in touch with some hints and tips ahead of the fixture,
and at home as well in front of the Wailing Wall, it all seems to have a bit of
yeah
I think blood down there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Should be a good game either way. I mean, tensions might be a bit high. And I think it was 4-4 last time the sides met in the league a few years ago. So
I'm sure Port Erin Constable will be on high alert.
Absolutely.
And that's just because you're in the vicinity. Jim's Peel should be favourites for this one. But Jim's have picked up a bit of form recently, haven't they?
They're still a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team, though. They win one, lose one. You know, they just, I don't know what it is with them, but Peel, yeah, they've found their feet again now, haven't they, really? Yeah. Pretty comfortable win against Colby last week, so you fancy them to do the same this week.
And you've played Jim's this season?
Yeah, we played them twice. Early on in the season, it was a bit closer because we went 2-0 up and had a man sent off and had to play an hour with 10 men. Mm-hmm. No surprises who it was that got sent off. Ginger Craig. And then we played them when I was away in Australia, when Kevin took charge and went... Surprise, surprise, getting beat and beat them, come back.
5-2 as well.
8-2.
Yeah.
But yeah, Peel have struggled, whether it's their pitch, it's a bit of an unsettled season for them, unfortunately. But yeah, I think they've picked up recently, so I'd go for Peel that one.
A team you've been throwing a lot of compliments towards, Maloo, they were up against Douglas Athletic. Could we have a shock here? Or are we just...
Yeah, I'd go on that, I think.
Yeah.
Especially down at Clack Vane, although Athletic are used to a small pitch, shall we say.
They certainly are, yeah.
Yeah, I think obviously with Douglas Athletic going up last year and, you know, steamroll, they were fantastic, but a slightly different team there, and they've had a bit of an indifferent season. They're going to stay up by the looks of it, which is great.
Yeah.
But if Maloo turn up and play like they did against us at Battle of Fletcher not so long ago, then, you know, they've improved a lot. Really impressed, they have improved a lot, so potentially, yeah.
One of the all Premier League affairs, Laxey Corinthians. Corinthians obviously beat St Mary's last week, a bit of revenge for the Railway Cup semi-final exit. One apiece, they've each won one game each in the league. I've said, I think in today's paper, that it's going to be extra time, but potentially Corinthians win, I think.
You wouldn't be surprised. I think this one could go either way with this one. Would you fancy Corinthians to go through so you might get them later on in the competition?
I've been impressed with Corinthians from what I've seen.
They're playing well.
They train before or after us tonight up at Bemahagan. They always get a good turnout. They've got a good young set of lads. We always play them pre-season. They destroyed us pre-season. They've got a good young side there, and Andy's got them playing some good football. Having said that, I haven't seen Laxey, so I can't comment on them. But I would go with
them. Laxey fall into the same bracket as Russian Old Boys, or can be very good one day and sadly average the next. So it depends which team turns up for them. But I think I'm going to go with Corinthians.
The fancy Corinthians, but you never know, home advantage might just sway it.
And of course, that was a corresponding league fixture maybe 2 seasons ago. Did you see that this week on Facebook? The Battle of Glen Road, 5.3 million hits.
Mr. Crow referee in that one.
I haven't seen the appointments, but I think Kevin would be wise maybe to direct them elsewhere.
We've got the full hit of Dave Murphy, and we've got highly esteemed linesman in that as well, coming up to
Kev sniffing an upset, you see.
Possibly,
tie the round.
St Mary's need to sort of the promising start of the season is starting to fade a little bit now. That a cup run would sort of put that right, wouldn't it?
It would. Just worthy of note, it's a 1:45 kickoff, and this one slightly later. But yeah, I think even though St John's thrashed Ayr last week, they're going to struggle this week, I think, against St Mary's.
I think a lot will depend on Alex Olden still on the island. He obviously spoiled accounts, had a good game against there. Him and Reece Oates are very lively front two, you know, hard to mark. Alex Harrison was away for St Mary's last week. He was watching his beloved Arsenal against Preston both ends. So he'll come back into that lineup, you'd suspect. So I'm going to go for a home win.
Me too, yeah.
And Aaron. Rob,
you going to say so, yeah.
Union Mills Colby now. this is the start of the trilogy of what, you know, could be three season-defining games for this pair, couldn't it?
Yeah, if you haven't heard, Mills had their 3 points reinstated this week.
Came back in the post this week, didn't they? And now they've got to play... so now they're only 7 points adrift.
Yeah.
They've played one game less than Ramsey, who were third bottom. Now they've got a pretty tough run in, has to be said. They've got Georgie's. To play Georgie's, Corinthians, St Mary's, Peel, St John's. But this is the big but. They've got to play Colby twice and Ayr. So there's potentially
a few points
there. So this game could be a yardstick for the a dramatic finish to the relegation race. You don't want to win that race.
Yeah.
The relegation, whatever, cliffhanger in the Premier League. But will both teams, you know, is this just a bit of a payment, you know, we've got to get this game out of the way? Or?
Well... you don't know with this really, because Mills will have a bit of a confidence boost after that. So who knows? But I fancy Colby to win that.
If they're like us for Royal, the way I'm viewing this weekend for our lads is fitness.
Yeah.
To go out and the main focus is on your league, and obviously they've got massive games, Union Mills and Colby, coming up to determine their future for next season. So use this as a marker for your fitness.
I think it could be a game where the first to score wins.
Right, you know.
One of them games, you know, you get them now and then.
Or you try and put a spanner in the works and just play a weakened side.
Mind games. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the weather, I don't think that it's too windy on Saturday, so it should be okay.
It's Gary Moore.
If we haven't been blown away since.
The thunder snow hasn't hit and decimated us. Ayr St George's, Ayr obviously went down this week. Mm. You know, it's been unfortunately looked like that way for a long time. Now, just to top the week off, they've got to welcome St George's to Andrews in an FA Cup tie.
Yeah, goals galore, maybe.
Were you in the game? Was it when the
24?
Yeah.
No, so. I was living across at that point, thankfully.
Yeah 24.
I remember
You know, fair play to them. They've tried all season.
Yeah, hats off.
They've discovered my man Dean Tate is a goal scoring hero. I think he's on about 14, 15 for the season.
It's impressive for Rotten
Stars, so we're not going to predict a shock, are we? I think last year's beaten finalists will be through at a canter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last but not least, because Tony will never forgive us, Michael United versus Governors Athletic. Governors are on a run. They've got 15 points now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think another good result last week. I think they're, you know, as you mentioned before, Aaron, they're going in the right direction. Tony's a good manager, isn't he?
I think they've got, against Michael, who are still shot shy, to say the least. Governors will be trying to, I think, was it two seasons ago when they had Peel in the cup? And they actually scored, went 1-0 up. I was there.
Yes.
Tweeted the tweet that nearly broke the internet. So that I think they'll be looking to get through this and then maybe get someone big in the draw for the next round.
Tony's done great up at Governors, and they've, like I said before, they've been much improved, and they caused us all sorts of problems, and that was one of the games where, you know, getting beat at half time in a game that potentially people thought looking in that, you know, it was going to be a very easy victory. It wasn't, and I'm sure it'll be the same when they come up to Ballard Fletcher. We'd have to work for whatever we can to get out of that game.
Of course, there's two cheeky little Division 2 games on the card this week. One you'll be having a bit of interest in, Paul Rose versus Braddon. Not a bit of a potential banana skin for Braddon, maybe?
Yeah, I think it depends what sides, again, turns out for Paul Rose. And they get fantastic numbers at training every week. Paul Guyver's done a great job with them. They trained at the same time as us on a Tuesday night. And they were much improved, and I said that to him after the game when we played them at Groves Road, when we beat them 2-0 a few weeks, just before our last game before Christmas. And, you know, they caused us problems, and they can cause teams problems. And it's certainly not going to be easy. It was one of those games that I was looking towards our run and thinking, this is a game where, you know, anything that we get out of this will be a bonus, and, it, you know, 2-0. Didn't get our goal till a couple of minutes to go, so Braddon will have to work hard for anything that they get there.
And
I'm going to go for a home win there.
Going to go for a home win.
Yeah, I think so.
Braddon, obviously you guys play some next week. You know, it's a big game, isn't it?
Looking forward to it. Really am, and I have been for some time, and it's a shame that, you know, that it wasn't played in the first half of the season to get a reflection halfway of what it is. But it's potentially getting a little bit exciting for people looking in. So eight of our for Douglas Royals, our last games, we've got eight left, three of them, you know, Braddon twice and Castletown. So whatever happens in those games potentially is going to determine the outcome for either of those teams towards the end of the season. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing them. And it was a close game last season. They beat us 9-0, I think, in the Hospital Cup, not long after I took over. But then when we played them in the league, it was 1-1. They didn't equalise till the 98th minute.
Wow. Peter Lewis reffing?
it was a chap I'd never seen him before. An English chap came over.
Great talent.
Didn't know who it was. No comment about the referee. The one getting into trouble. But, didn't have his greatest of days. But that was a good game, and it finished 1-1. And I'm looking forward to these two games.
And Rob, what do you think? It's going to be a big game next week, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think for both teams, you know, because as Aaron says, we haven't played each other this season, and they made a good start at the beginning of the season, and we've been looking, thinking, you know, there's even a bet up in the Manor, you know, Adam Bates got with Spicer that Brown are going to win the league. So
£100 bet. It's up on the board behind the bar.
So whether Spicer's going to honour that, I don't know.
Or Adam.
Yeah. on him if he wins.
In the other game on Saturday in Division 2 rearranged games, obviously, is Moran versus Douglaston District. Now, Moran have impressed me a little bit. They at the start of the season, look, their squad, you know, they might struggle a bit this year, but they've got quite a few young kids, and as you say about Castletown, if they can keep them together, it could be another team to watch in the future.
Yeah, you know, they did okay against us up at Balfetcher, you know, 2-0 up, but sort of fell away in the second half. I think that was down to the changes that the Royals manager made. But again, these are two teams that we've still got to play, both of which away.
Not easy games then.
And we were losing in both of those games against those two teams. So certainly the league has been really competitive. So I think that'll be a close game. I never go for a draw in football, even when I make a bet on a Saturday afternoon. So I'll go the home win.
Rob?
Yeah, I would agree with Aaron there. Yeah.
Right, chaps, I think that brings today's bumper first edition of 2017 to an end. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck for the rest of the season. Enjoy your cup game on Saturday.
See you in the Premier League next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We're not going for promotion.
You heard that here first. All right, don't forget, you can tweet us at @ManxFootyBlog anytime, day or night. You can also now subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search Manx Football and then you'll see my face, and just click on that, I believe, and it does the rest for you.
Magic.
Of course, we're also at any time, day or night, we're at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football.
Is my picture still your...
Yes, you are, yeah. I was going to make, because that was this time last year, wasn't it? Yeah. It was in the cup game against Moran, I think. Well, you've got such lovely legs. So, yeah.
It was the backside. I was like, that looks like mine.
Right, thanks again, guys. We'll see you next week. Are we coming back next week, David?
I think we may as well, yeah.
Yeah, cheers. All right, okay.
Thank you.
TTFN.
Cheers, guys.